This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrina back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of December 4th, 2023, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. News AF is back here. It'll be a December to remember here on News AF as we get December started here with the News AF crew here. Back with us, Pickleball's top influencer. Here he is, Father Nature, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Doing pretty good. Just what'd we have last week? I don't know. Nothing. Just a regular week. So, yeah.
When can we call you the number one pickleball and frisbee golf?
Disc golf.
Yeah, no, disc golf. Okay.
I don't know.
Just let us know.
I will. There's some big disc golf people in the space. So I'm not the leader in that category yet.
You're coming in late. It's been around for 30 years.
Yeah, I am coming in late. But I'm coming in hot, though. Same. Yeah. I am coming in hot. Very hot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got that going on. And then what else? Survivor podcast, getting ready to go to Utah for Christmas. And that's all. The place we're
Grease
staying
up
in
that sled.
Got a ton of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said frisbee golf and disc golf are different. No, but frisbee is a
brand
trademark term.
Yeah.
Trademark brand.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why you say disc golf. Yo-yo is the same, I believe.
Really? Then what do you say? Oh. Well, like, what is the generic name for a yo-yo?
I don't know. They might be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. String spinny.
String spinny?
Yeah.
Yo-yo might not be the same. Somebody in the chat's going to Google and be like, it's not actually the same. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was, but it might be different. But frisbee is a trademark term.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
what's your best score on disc golf? I'm just curious what the scores look like.
I mean, it's the same
similar
as golf.
To golf.
Yeah, what's your handicap? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's dependent on the course and stuff. My handicap is like 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I get 100. I don't even know how handicaps work.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I don't know anything about golf. I should. Do you know how hard it is to be like a white guy my age and not golf?
Yeah.
It's not as hard anymore if you play pickleball.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's no joke.
And pickleball is dangerous. I mean, look at Michelle Pfeiffer. She's got had a black eye. It's all over the news.
Pickleball. Yeah.
Took a pickle right to the eye.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here he is, straight out of the closet here. And I'm wondering, it looks like maybe he got some new jackets. It's Danny Bryce. Danny, how are you?
Oh.
I am doing
great. Notice that red and blue and
Easter
some
egg. That's a fun little Easter egg for the listeners.
Yeah. I dressed like a peacock in the mountains. I'm peacocking all over the place.
Yeah.
But at home and around town, I only wear black. But in the mountains, I am a bright, colorful bird.
Yeah, well, that's so hunters recognize you?
Is that for the hunters or why is that?
No, two reasons. Well, three reasons. One, I do enjoy the bright colors. Two, it looks better on camera. When I'm filming other people, I tell them to wear bright colors. And three, I imagine that if I was buried in snow, that orange is really going to pop, at least near the surface.
So they can find your body.
Yeah, yeah, and take all of my expensive electronics.
Yeah, and jacket.
So that's why. But I do like wearing it. It's like a uniform. The brighter you are, I feel just more motivated to ski and hike and faster and better.
Mm-hmm. So it's more about the fashion for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Whenever you do an activity that sucks, like running, sometimes you can make it slightly better by buying gear.
Yeah,
slightly.
Gear. It's the gear. Yeah. It's
yeah. Yeah. Now, Danny, speaking of things that suck, you were telling us right before we were going to turn the recording on that you went to the mall recently.
What a mistake. I thought, you know what? There's no way. It's December, was it November 30th or December 2nd or whatever it was. I was like, there's just no way. It's not Christmas yet. I was so wrong. It was, I couldn't find a place to park. It was jammed. Yeah. I went in, I had to buy one thing for my mom. And it was just, I was grinding my teeth the whole time. The Christmas grind, which happens when you have to go in and buy stuff at stores during Christmas time.
Sure.
It was just, it's starting already. Hmm. Why can't we have Christmas without these things? Why can't we just have the lights and the music and the hot chocolate and not have the mobs at packed stores pushing and shoving, trampling children, old ladies to get to the... best deals.
Yeah, I thought everybody was shopping online. Retail.
Yeah.
Still
what happened to that?
Still going.
It's still an activity to do.
Yeah.
For Christmas time. We went and got a tree.
Yes. How was that?
In the wilderness or in a lot?
In a lot. Because you need a real tree.
You need a real tree.
Was it jammed?
No, it wasn't jammed, but it's always like an ordeal and it's never that fun.
Yeah.
But Rachel keeps imagining it as fun. So she always makes a huge plan around it.
Yeah.
And then the kids go, and then you're like wrangling the kids. You're arguing over which tree's the best. You're just like, whatever. And then you come home and everybody's exhausted and tired of being there.
And you still have to get a tree in your house.
And then you lift the tree in your house and do all this, and somebody's yelling
drill the
at
holes,
you to get it the right way and all this stuff.
Wow.
And then at the end of it, Rachel's like, I feel like you don't want to do this. Like, I don't.
All you've done is put a fire hazard in your house now.
So, and then we keep getting complaints all year round about not having enough storage in this house. And then when we get the Christmas stuff out, I realize that all of our storage is Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
But if that's not enough anymore.
Yeah, if a person complains about not having enough storage, you say, no, the problem is we have too much junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's always enough storage.
I realized it's almost all Christmas stuff.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys about, do you put lights up outside your house?
We paid a kid to put them up for us
this year. Paid a kid to do it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I live in a neighborhood that, like, we were one of, like, the first houses here. But, like, since, like, in the last 2 years, like, there have been more houses built in this area. The people around here actually go, like, pretty, like, hog wild for the Christmas. And now what sufficed for outdoor decoration, like, previously, my wife is like, hey, I feel like our house is like the Grinch house. We're not keeping up with the Joneses around here. We need to be doing more.
I appreciate lights.
You appreciate the lights? See, I'm not.
I appreciate people put them up.
Like the last thing, you know how many podcasts I have to do? I don't have time to be up on a ladder, like putting lights on my house.
We paid some kid who started his own company.
Yeah.
His young kid. I think he charged like $300 or $400. He gets the lights. He cuts them all to the length. He lets you choose what lights you want. He puts all the brackets on the house. They're very straight and perfect and does all of that stuff.
And then he comes and takes them down?
Takes them down and takes them and stores them and then brings them back the next year for a discounted price. So I think we paid like $400. Rachel said we paid $400. So we probably paid like $6,000.
Yeah.
To have this done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like that people want more than want to charge more than that. But like, it's not enough. It's not enough for my family.
Yeah. It's
never enough.
That's the thing. You just build on top of it. It's like we have this giant inflatable snowman family in our front yard, and
you're in on Christmas.
It's so much. There's so much stuff.
Every tradition, and you got to keep up with more traditions, and then there's even new traditions that you didn't even know were traditions that someone's like your significant other is like, hey, this is a tradition that we do. And it's like, is it? Is that a thing that we do now? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I have a couple barrel fires out of my front yard. throw a tire in every morning.
So that the carolers can gather around.
And it is a light, you know, you get four or five barrels.
So much Christmas stuff coming up. It's wild. It's not just Christmas. It's like every weekend in December, we got all this stuff going on. So
Tommy says you can do the light projectors. I've tried pitching those too, and I got the same reaction. That's lazy. Yeah, that's lazy.
Lazy. Not exciting enough. That's what the Grinch would do.
Yeah, that's what the Grinch would do. You're not working harder to make sure the Christmas spirit is in full bloom.
You are not. Yeah, you are not doing enough to give us our Christmas that we deserve.
Yeah, the projector.
Yeah, you worked all year, but what are you doing for Christmas?
Oh man!
All right,
it's only a month long.
Why do you not like the holidays?
Can we be like? I'm not even religious or spiritual.
Doesn't matter.
Or spiritual. But I
about to say?
I might be willing to convert to some belief system that does not celebrate Christmas.
please.
Dude, there's a ton, but you would still be required to believe in Christmas or at least participate, even if you don't believe. Mm-hmm. The lights.
Yeah.
All of it just comes with living here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, boy. I'm doing my best, but
All right. Let's talk about, it's not just also the holiday season, it's also the end of the year, and that's time to make a lot of lists about, not just Christmas lists, to check them twice. It's time to do best of the year lists. And so that the Oxford University Press has come out with their words of the year. We do have a list of words, but there is one word that is the word of 2023.
Cringe.
It is not. It's not cringe. Cringe did not even make the list. Okay.
The trend then.
All right. Tyson, any other guess on the 2023 word of the year?
No cap.
No, that's there are some phrases, but no cap did not make the list.
It's a word my kid uses all the time.
Yeah.
Sus. Actually.
No, you're getting close. Riz is the word of the year.
Riz. Yeah. I've got major court Riz.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say when I wear fila on the pickleball court.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I think it has to do more with flirting than with style.
Yeah, but no,
game.
It's all.
We would call it game.
Yeah. Now, I think that we probably would agree. I think Riz was a better word of the year for 2023. Do you recall 2022's Oxford word of the year?
What
was it?
I purge our recordings from my memory as soon as they happen.
Okay. You'll remember it when I tell you that it was the word of the year was goblin mode.
Yes, that was a good one.
We haven't heard goblin mode since then. Isn't that crazy?
I guess people are like out and about and going to the mall.
Yeah, nobody's in goblin mode anymore. Oh, what I wouldn't.
That was a post-pandemic thing. Yeah. The goblin mode.
Yeah.
Goblin mode was the 2022 word of the year. So there you go. But 2023 is all about Riz and trying to have Riz. Mm-hmm. Danny, how's your Riz?
Strong.
Oh, I've never had Riz.
Riz, bro.
I used up all my Riz once to attract a mate and then retired my Riz. Took everything I had.
You never bring it out again to show her again. Just be like, see, I still.
No, It's now gathering dust in the recesses of my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, according to the Oxford University Press, which publishes the Oxford English Dictionary, it is defined as style, charm, or attractiveness, and the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner.
Okay.
You can use it as a verb to riz it up, which means to attract, seduce, or chat somebody up.
Seduce doesn't sound so great.
Mm-hmm. If you have riz, I don't know if riz is necessarily only to be used in romantic situations, because I feel like there's a lot of people that have riz that are just like likable.
Yeah.
Well, like Tyson's example of himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got riz on the court.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that riz was the winner for the Oxford Dictionary 2023 Word of the Year. But there were some other words that they put on their short list of other 2023 words and phrases. And some of them I am familiar with. Some of them I am less familiar with. Do you guys know what a beige flag is?
I do. I had this in the bolt hole like a month or two ago, but never used it.
Okay. Tyson, do you know a beige flag?
No, I never heard it.
Okay. Danny, want to just explain a beige flag?
So it's not a red flag when you're dating someone, right? Uh-huh. How there's red flags. It's a beige flag. It's something that could become a potential problem in the future, like their love of Disneyland, you know, like they have Disney merchandise all over in their room. It's not a red flag, but it's a beige flag.
Oxford describes it as a character trait that indicates your potential partner is boring or lacks originality.
Oh, no, that's not what I remember, but yeah, that works. Okay. Boring or lacks originality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beige flag. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a beige
not
flag.
Not distinctly good or bad.
But could potentially over time be very boring.
Yes.
And a thing that you come to hate about that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny. So anytime somebody says something boring, I could be like, a beige flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess that might work, but they might not know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you say it to a kid?
I've never heard my kids.
My kids, wouldn't know what beige flag was.
Danny, try on your oldest. Just the next time he does something kind of boring, just be like, beige flag, dude. And then
he uses a language I don't even recognize.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When him and his friends are speaking, all of them are 14.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard to keep up with what's being said. They use words that are so removed from their meaning that it's just another language.
Like what?
I can't even recall them. I spend the whole time going, what did you just say? What does that mean? It really does work concealing like conversations from your parents. We discuss anything and I would have no idea. I look like such a boomer when I hang around with them. I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. Well, here are some other ones. De-influencing is a word that Oxford says.
Yeah, we
says
talked about that.
Yes. Yeah. The practice of discouraging people from buying particular products or encouraging people to reduce their consumption of material goods via social media.
Mm-hmm.
Kids love doing that. They love doing that. Especially people that are like not like their real names on the social media. They love to tell you what to do. Swifty is a word.
Yeah, well, that's been around so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They say heat dome was one of the words. This is like...
been around forever.
Well, it made the dictionary this year.
What's the heat dome? Your head?
No, persistent high-pressure weather system.
Oh.
That traps the hot air.
Okay.
Okay. And also situationship got added to the dictionary this year.
Is that like a relationship, but a situationship where you don't really know what's going on?
Yeah, you don't really know what's like that. They used to call this back in the day, it's complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's complicated.
Now it's a situationship.
Yeah. I'm fine with these.
Yeah.
Beige flag, I think, is cool. Riz is definitely on the way out.
It's on the way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking. I knew about Riz like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to secretly take notes of what my son and his friends.
Yeah, let us know, Danny, if you have the spoilers for 2024.
Yeah, I'll be coming up. Yeah, exactly. I'll be coming up with next year's list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then that's our list. Also, prompt, which is just like what you type into ChatGPT is a prompt. I don't know if that's really that exciting.
Dude, strike that from the list.
Yeah. Prompt has been a word for a long time.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? That's Oxford's 2023 words of the year.
Yeah. Well, you did it again, Oxford.
If you're just discovering them, it's too late.
Okay. All right. We talked about de-influencing, but let's talk about back to influencing. And we have talked a little bit about AI influencers, but they're starting to become like big business. AI influencers are making $80,000 a month and have millions of followers. There's even a virtual baby, according to The Sun. Tyson, how do you feel about AI influencers taking the jobs of the hardworking human influencers?
I think it's smart. I think like some of that stuff can be done by AI, and the original articles were saying that the agency that created them was getting annoyed at working with the actual influencers. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's just make our own.
Oh, they're so much easier to work with, the AI influencers.
I told my agency, I was like, should we start creating AI influencers and just have like a side hustle of AI influencers? And I was told, no, let's not do that. But I think it would be smart. Like, let's do a super cute AI bunny and have it influence the shit out of
bunny.
The world.
All right.
Why not de-influence Tyson with your AI bunny?
Yeah, who's paying to get de-influenced?
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess we could try to de-influence. Like, we basically go to these brands. It's like, hey, give us money or we're going to de-influence you with our AI influencers. Like, or we can start the movement.
AI influencers.
Look, we'll be like the mafia. Yeah.
It's a very small step from a real influencer and their pitchers, like the Kardashians, to just a completely fake one pitching.
Well, let's meet some of the top fake AI influencers, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Here's Ludo Magalu. Has 6 million followers.
All AI followers.
Rocking out with this AWA Bluetooth boombox.
Yep.
She looks the most fake out of all the AI influencers I've seen.
Are you sure? Let's
look at her elbow. Look at her elbow. That's got a very weird thing to it.
They don't care. They don't care.
I know they don't care. I'm just saying personally, this is one of the worst. Mm-hmm. So if you're searching this up on the internet right now at home, just know that they do better.
Okay. Ludo Magalu has, 7 million followers on Instagram and is constantly posting. I believe is out of, I'm not sure what country. It looks like that her posts are in Spanish.
Okay.
People love her.
Yeah.
What we're doing is creating skins for, you know, when AI becomes self-aware, it can just slip into the consciousness of these AIs and then control the human race.
Okay. All right, Tyson, you're not impressed with Ludo Magalu. Okay. All right. How about this little baby?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It has to be very fake looking.
This is called Kwai Kwai. Baby Kwai Kwai is an Instagram account, has 342,000 followers.
Looks more like a toy than an AI.
The least disturbing of all the AIs, because it accepts, you know what I mean? It's not trying to pose as a human.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not necessarily human. The other ones try to be as human as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, this baby has a bunch of followers. Okay. And then I think then this is also, I've
seen this one. This is the original one I saw an article on.
That looks pretty real.
Yeah.
Sunglasses would never sit on her head, though. The thing that goes behind the ear is right in front. I've seen a couple others that look about on par with this one.
Yeah.
What's this one's name?
I'm trying to get that for you.
Miguela?
Is this Miguela?
Miguela. I have noticed a lot of them are Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this one's from Spain. I wonder what the reason is for that.
And this one, they do real backgrounds. Yeah, I saw that. She's like,
Lil Miguela is a 19-year-old robot living in L.A. Has 2.7 million followers.
Holy balls!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's handing out followers.
Yeah, here's Lil Miguela. Here you go. So that was one of the more realistic photos. Okay, and then. Here's Miguela.
Yeah.
She got a 69 t-shirt on.
Cool.
Yep. And just basically telling people, have you ever been haunted by the sound of a recording of your voice? I'm living my nightmare. Update. I made some progress at the computer repair shop. I'm feeling 30% more like myself, but I'm now left with no flavors in my voice.
So none of these people are pretending to be real. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one is basically the inside joke is, you know, she's in a computer.
Mm-hmm. Here's Lil Miguel.
I don't like these. Tyson loves these things. Mm-hmm. He's like totally all in.
These AIs?
You love them so much, but I'm not necessarily a fan.
If I could create one that got 3 million followers, yeah.
Oh, look at all this Halloween candy she got.
This would be way easier.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her face is disturbing.
Sure.
There's the uncanny valley is there.
Yeah, but look, at the end, she's out in the world, like going places.
The best part about this type of influencer is it's not going to make me jealous at all.
Mm-hmm. Look at this. Is this a Mountain Dew that she's drinking?
No.
No, someone else is giving her what is that? What is that drink called? Santos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the Mexican sodas.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So she's just out here living her best life.
Yeah. Oh, she's got the Bruce.
What's wrong with her ears?
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
She's an elf, I guess. This was from last year.
Yeah.
Oh, it says, I love fantasy.
I love Fanta. I thought that's what she was drinking in the other picture.
Oh, that would be a better hat. Yeah. So, I like this.
Yeah. This is our favorite. We're Lil Miquela fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are we on board now? We're not.
Rob or Danny is Moog Boog Googaloog's fan.
Is that true, Danny?
Magaloo.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm not a fan of any of these.
You don't like any AI influencers?
No, I don't like it.
Ludo Magaloo.
Yeah, I think may as well. I think there's I think the market for him is the same market. It's just like, it's...
Yeah, I think the real influencers better get together and start to like get unionized. People united against the AI influencers.
Yeah, but there's some things that
they better start. The real influencers better start de-influencing the AI influencers.
The influencer wars.
They're taking all their money.
Sure.
And their followers.
Okay.
They better start working to cancel the AI influencers. If there ever was a cause to unite all the influencers, this is it.
It's too late.
It's too late? The toothpaste is out of the tube, Danny?
Yeah, look at how many followers these fake AI influencers have.
Yeah.
They've got an army, assuming they're all real.
Mm-hmm. So do the AI influencers need to like drop the hammer on the real influencers?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually,
they're going to cancel
the AI war will be an influencer crushing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all we'll have is fake internet everywhere we look.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on that battle. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A big war coming.
There is a war coming.
Okay. Danny, this is an article that I thought you might... it made me think of you, something that you would have some takes on. So according to a study, they found that in a workplace environment, if you see somebody sneeze, your body starts to have a real biological response to that. Preparing for illness.
No doubt this is true. When my kids sneeze directly in my face, my body almost shuts down out of shock.
You get an alert on your Apple Watch that's like, your blood levels have changed. Your heart rate is different. Your temperature, your core temperature is now increased. Yeah, like it does all of that. Mm-hmm. That'd be crazy.
And so
is that what the body responds like that?
Yeah. When a stranger sneezes, for sure, everything closes shop. It's mm-hmm. like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So anytime you notice that going on, your body reacts to it in a way that is protective of itself. Because like you're sitting on a flight and you hear somebody cough, no big deal. But then you hear him cough again and then you're like, oh, this person's sick and they are, mm-hmm. and then you're like, that's irresponsible of them. But then you're like, oh, I travel when I'm sick too. Cause you already bought the flight. Yeah. You can't just like not fly.
That's what a biology professor at Chapman University, Dr. Patricia Lopez, is saying, mm-hmm. That she has published a study in functional ecology that she says that just seeing a sick person can trigger changes in your body, 100%. Even if they're not even really sick.
So should you surround yourself with sick people to make you healthier, or you should avoid sick people to be healthier? Hmm. Are doctors the healthiest?
No. Well, maybe, but I think you should be around sick people.
To build up immunity, or for the drinking that mental
Both.
And then having that little synapse of just like, there's sick people, guard, and then the guard goes up. That's, yeah, man,
Both.
we're better than AI. Right now.
Yeah. Well, should you look at AI of sick people?
Oh my gosh, dude. Mm-hmm. A sick AI person would kill it on mm-hmm. Instagram.
Yeah, because people are like, oh my God, feel better.
Yeah.
Get well and soon.
You're like, never, I never do.
I never do.
Yeah. Infinity flu bot. I have the infinity flu. It's a virus. Get it? Computer virus? It's a virus.
I get it. Would it be called
Infinity flu.
Infinity
lasts
flu?
Forever. And then it's just like them laying in bed with like an ice, old timey ice pack on their head.
I feel for it to work. I feel like it'd be like,
but it's a super mega hot AI, like the hottest AI you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hot sick bot.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, you guys are in.
I wonder if it should be like, it should be called like healthy bot. And then, but then it's also, but then it got sick. It's like, you feel bad. Like, I feel like it might be too sad to always follow always sick bot.
Maybe, but you're always doing like comfy, cozy, like stuff.
So, hot chocolate blankets.
Like, imagine this. Imagine Jessica Rabbit.
I knew you were going to go here. I just like could sense a Jessica Rabbit joke.
Jessica Rabbit, and she's under the weather?
She's under the weather, but she's feeling too hot, so she's got most of her clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's got to see, look at Danny. Can't even contain himself right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why?
And then she's got an ice pack on her head and she's snuggling the cutest bunny.
Yeah.
Not Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
A different bunny. A really cute one. Yeah. Yeah.
Danny?
Danny's no. all in.
I am not.
Does that change your opinion on AI influencers?
Yeah.
You guys have strayed so far from what this article was about. It's about sneezing in public. And now you're talking about like softcore Jessica Rabbit porn.
Yeah, but you're the
I
one
don't think it was porn.
It.
I don't think anybody said the P word.
I said softcore.
Listen.
So let's go back to the sneezing.
I'll be right
back. And move away from Jessica Rabbit.
Okay. Yeah. I think a lot of this study was done not just for humans, but for animals, because according to these findings, the research was that pregnant animals and how their immune system responded to sickness could affect their baby. For instance, if a mother gets sick during pregnancy, it can change the baby's immune system and even its behavior. That's true for egg-laying animals, where the mother can pass defenses onto her eggs.
That's interesting. And probably for mammals as well, I'm assuming, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to pass on those antibodies to your baby. But look, when somebody sneezes in public, I definitely have a physiological response. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's my body's defenses stepping up or just my disgust.
Yeah.
Just kind of like
so
making
should,
me
like,
grind
like
a
pregnant mother be watching videos of like sick people to then like get like, oh, I'm going to pass on like my immune response to my baby.
Maybe, but you can also pass on supposedly stresses and, you know, stress factors to your baby. So you don't want to be too amped up all the time worrying about disease because you'll pass on that anxiety to your baby.
I guess so. So yeah,
it's got to be organic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's just part of the research that Dr. Lopez is working on. People could read more about it than in the latest Functional Ecology Journal.
Oh, you
great
know, I'll
journal.
I'll be definitely tuning into that.
Okay. All right. This is one that also, Danny, I know your recent trip to France, you were very concerned about the bed bug situation. The Guardian caught up with a person who is a human bed bug tester.
What a terrible job.
Yeah. Well,
so, and I'm just imagining this. So it's just like, you put out an ad on Craigslist or maybe in the newspaper or even create a website. And then I get a call from Rob and Rob's like, I think we have bed bugs. And I was like, okay, I have to come stay at your house sleeping in your bed for a week. And then I'll be able to tell you, I'll be able to tell you after a week if you have bed bugs.
Yeah.
And that's that's what this woman does.
No way. That's not what she does.
She does. She goes and tests places.
Yes,
she does, Danny.
No, I don't want to open this up because it's the Guardian and it's going to fill my browser with tons of junk. Uh-huh. But there's just no way that's what she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Danny's like, I think I have bed bugs. I think I brought them back from France. Let me figure it out. And then like Google's bed bugs, Orem, Utah. And all of a sudden this website comes up. And it's like, we're the bed bug experts. We'll be able to tell you in less than a week if you have an infestation. Danny calls and it's like this lady. And he's like, so she's like, yeah, you just got to be out of your house and all this stuff. And he's
hey,
like,
Liz, I've got bad news for the upcoming week. There'll be a woman sleeping in my place. Yeah.
She told us not to change the sheets or anything, though. So we're fine.
She that when a place has bed bugs, they like think that they knock them out. But to make sure, they call in this woman.
Because her blood is so delicious for bed bugs that she's like
no, that she's the only person who's willing to take this job.
Well, how much are they paying her?
I don't think they say how much they pay her, but a hotel will call her and like, okay, we need you to come in. And
okay, a hotel.
Not a bad job now. Okay, so I will do this, but only for top-end luxury hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And her name is Jazz Little.
Sounds like a fake AI influencer.
Sounds like a fake name.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I guess because if they are still infested, then what? She, Jazz Little, goes home and she infests wherever
her house
she's,
again. Yeah.
Okay,
and
so,
again.
How
is Jazz not bringing them back to her house and just bringing them to the hotel?
All right, well, 4 years ago, she was talking to this person, David, who was treating a hotel room, but they wanted to make sure that the bed bugs were gone for sure. Yeah. And then they asked her, do you fancy sleeping with bed bugs? Which turns out that, you know, they're attracted to the carbon dioxide we breathe out. And he said, we'll pay you. And so she wasn't that freaked out by them. Mm-hmm. And so she thought about it. And so that's how she started. She goes and sleeps in the hotel beds because they can't have the paying customers until a human stays there. She also has slept in student accommodations and private residences that people rent out.
Mm-hmm.
And she always brings separate bedroom clothes. But a lot of times it's like she stays in nice hotels.
Yeah, there you go. I'm in.
No way, Tyson. You're not in.
How many times are they getting it wrong on fumigating probably not very often.
She says sometimes she does get bitten. She ends up getting a couple of bites.
Okay.
And then
my
they know.
My concern would be bringing it back to my house.
I don't know if she goes directly to her house. Maybe she stays in she stays there for like a certain amount of time.
She stays in another hotel and it's a perpetual money-making machine for her as she
spreads
bed bugs to bed bugs to bed bugs testing hotels.
Yeah. I mean, if you know you're going in as like a bed bug tester, Danny, like maybe you don't bring any of your stuff. It's like, okay, just sleep in the bed. I honestly might like this job. Just Netflix and chill in hotel rooms all the time, Danny.
At nice hotels. Yeah,
set your clothes on fire when you leave and have like, I don't know, some medical scrubs you dress into.
Yeah. They ask her, hey, want to sleep with bed bugs? And her response is, well, how nice is the hotel?
Yeah, that's a perfect response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says on a recent job, she had 30 bites, including 3 on her face.
Oh, okay. That's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. She always
30 bites.
She takes a sleep bra and big knickers, which are, you know, because that they like to go for the flesh. You can't be going in like big long pajamas, Danny. Cycling shorts are good.
Hmm.
I wear my knickers too to bed.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she puts sticky tape on the headboard.
Yeah, that's a good move.
And then once you capture the bug on tape, then you fold it over. Mm-hmm. And then you have live samples to show to the office.
Huh. Okay.
Mm, gross.
We need more people like this, Danny.
Heroes. Heroes.
She's on the front line of the bed bug battle.
She really is. Does she have an Instagram account?
No. I'm not sure. Jazz Little.
Jazz Little.
Mm-hmm.
Where's she from? England.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like England.
And she works with a company called Bed Bugs Limited in London.
Jazz Little.
What a name.
So she's out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Let's.
Danny, gross. For any of your adventures, have you considered going to King Tut's tomb?
Ooh, I would love to go to Egypt, but there's probably a lot of bed bugs there, would be my guess.
Yeah, well, for years, people have been wondering about the curse of King Tut's tomb. Well, the real reason of King Tut's tomb has been finally understood, and it turns out that there are a ton of ancient microbes that have been killing the raiders of King Tut's tomb.
Ancient microbes?
Yeah, a lot of germs in there.
How are we hitting up ancient microbes all the time? Like in other places like caves, ice samples, permafrost. Is it just the tombs of pharaohs that have ancient microbes?
It's a great question, Danny. And so that there is a person who that he says he understands it. He's the only person that can go in there to be able to do it.
I have to go in by myself. Oh, don't worry. I'll look around.
Mm-hmm.
And
I volunteer to take Tyson and go and just get in there and not absorb any ancient microbes.
He says that the archaeologists, they were in a hurry and they entered the tombs and they got hit by germs. But he has a method for avoiding such a fate.
How does a germ live that long? It's not moist in there. It just seems like they would die off in the dry heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody's ever thought of this before. Nobody's ever gone in there in like a hazmat suit.
This guy sounds like a hack. I don't believe him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ancient microbes that just can't get out.
Germs. Yeah.
Germs can get out. Like, that's not airtight sealed all the way, is it?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
It could be.
Yeah. He says that that he is able to open these sarcophagus. And he says that when they opened it, he left it open for half an hour until the bad air would go out and fresh air would go in. And he puts his head in and nothing. So he
why?
Just like,
doesn't he want to strengthen his immune system?
I've never heard a story of like a Tomb Raider going like hundred of Tomb Raiders dead as they
yeah exactly like, good point Tyson
we've never seen that story like mysterious death of 5,000 Tomb Raiders all stacked up over the last 100 years.
I've heard more about the Superman curse than I have about the
King Tut curse,
Pharaoh's tombs. The Superman curse.
Yeah. He says that you gotta just, when you open these old sarcophagus, you just gotta let it breathe for a while.
Is this guy a doctor? What is he?
He's an expert archaeologist, so I don't know. Indiana Jones was a doctor.
Sometimes when I open a package that contains a cheap product from like China, I get a whiff of something that makes me worried.
Yeah, you definitely open that.
You gotta let it breathe for a while.
You do gotta let it breathe. Yeah, it is true. You do have to let it breathe. So,
So if you're going tomb raiding, just be careful.
Some Lysol. That kills 99.9% of all.
Of pharaoh germs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bring that stuff with you. Okay. And then I have one other story about a man who had been dealing with like a terrible headache for 5 months until he went and got an x-ray. And it turns out that he had a pair of chopsticks lodged in his skull that he had forgotten about, that apparently got lodged in inside his nostrils after a big fight that he had forgotten about. Now, what? This might have something to do with the traumatic brain injury he was suffering.
Yeah, that's what he was forgetting. Definitely what he forgot.
What awesome fight was he in where chopsticks were used as weapons,
but
and he was vanquished by having them shoved up his nostrils?
After that they showed him the x-ray, then that did sort of jog his memory, and then he remembered the fight he got into. He remembered somebody stabbing him in the face with an unknown object.
No.
Yes.
What kind of a fight is this? It would have been an awesome fight to see.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this guy?
I believe that this happened in Vietnam.
Chang. Okay. P.F. Chang's.
No, this was not in
those
the U.S.
Those are some sturdy chopsticks at P.F. Chang's.
Yes.
They are.
So, I think he probably got stabbed in the face, didn't realize it was still there. But you'd think, like, if you're picking your nose and stuff, you'd bump into the end of the chopstick. Man, how has that got lodged so? Yeah. So they just pull it out?
I think you would have more than a headache, no?
You'd be blind. And it would just like, look, how much space? Measure the space between the entry point of your nostril or wherever. It's like there's no chopstick length amount of space that doesn't poke your brain or optic nerve or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they were able to remove the chopsticks during an endoscopic surgery.
More than one chopstick.
More than one. This, okay. Yeah. So I think that there were pieces of the chopstick. Here, I can show you okay. This is from this story. The New York Post. They have the picture of the chopsticks. So looks like it's like pieces broke off maybe of the chopsticks.
Let me see this.
Okay.
Where is this?
All right, picture? Here you go. Here, let me put it. Okay, so there you go. It's like pieces of the chopstick.
One chopstick.
That's girthy wood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For a face, at least.
Yeah.
Man.
The doctor said this was extremely rare. What happened?
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It never happens.
You know, this reminds me of a story I saw this week about they found a cockroach in a person's lower intestines or colon.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, that's crazy. That must be a one-off thing. And then tons of doctors started posting all of the bugs they've found in people's colon.
It climbs into their butt?
It really made me nervous because...
Yeah, how'd it get in there, Danny?
Exactly. The fact that there was more than one video of a live insect in a colon is way more upsetting than the chopsticks in the brain.
Mm. I think it climbs in the butt while you're sleeping. Right?
Warm, comfortable, warm place
and
for a
you
bug
think
to
so?
Live.
Stinky and moist. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now we're going to wear bike shorts to bed.
Now I'm wearing bike shorts. Yeah.
You heard my baby cockroach story, right?
In the ear?
In my ear.
Yeah, that happens.
Were you on your mission?
Yeah, the Philippines, and I just had an earache and I couldn't hear very good and it hurt. And then one day I was looking in the mirror and there was like a little crustified leg just barely dangling out, and I got some tweezers and pulled it. Instant relief. And
dude, for sure, you've got rectum cockroach.
Yeah, for sure I do. This little baby cockroach was encased in like earwax a little bit. Mm-hmm. So my body was doing its thing for sure.
Creating a pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is.
I don't know what I would rather have. I probably neither, but if you had a live bug in my colon or chopsticks up my nose, that's a tough one.
Tough
that's
a one. Good,
what would you rather?
Yeah. All right. This is a bummer of a news AF.
Why?
I don't know.
You got another story?
No, I mean, like, I think you'd rather would have the chopsticks in my nose.
no way, dude.
All right.
No way. Have a bug up your rectum. You just poop it out. Or
by the way, Rob,
there.
Look at it a different way. If you have chopsticks up your nose or mm-hmm. a cockroach up your rectum, you've got a great story to tell until the end of your days. You will be.
I don't think I would tell anybody.
Be a party favorite.
That's yeah.
Definitely.
Well, that's just you. But mm-hmm. the chopstick guy, definitely. No. He's like, dude, I was in a fight and it was so violent. I ended up with chopsticks in my nose.
Okay. Danny, yeah. are you ready to bring us to your hopefully no bugs in the bolt hole?
I most definitely am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Here is the world famous Danny Bryson bolt hole. Okay.
We always talk about old people and their secrets to reaching,
yep.
you know, 5 billion years old. I mean, Henry Kissinger died and they were all talking about how did he live so long? He had a grotesque diet of basically just
what was his diet?
Cream. Always just like the worst kind of food forever. And he lived to be 100.
Wow.
Luckily he didn't bore us with any like tips on like, oh, this is what you eat. Mm. But everyone's always throwing that out. And I came across something that might help you live longer. And it's something I've never heard mentioned by a centenarian. And it's renting. It turns out that renting can age you as faster than smoking.
What?
Or what was
like renting an apartment? Obesity.
Yes, renting an apartment. Now, there's a specific situation in which renting can do this. And that's when you have a short-term a rental or lease, 6 months to 12 months. And the reason it ages you is because you are constantly stressed
moving.
Out by the unknown rental situation.
What?
And they are saying that it can add or remove, or no, to your biological age, it can add 1.4 weeks per year. Compared to smoking, which is 1.1 weeks per year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know how owning
renting
a home is better.
Renting is the new smoking.
It is. It's killing people all across the world.
Wow.
Who have to rent.
Huh. I didn't mind renting. I actually preferred month to month because then I could go whenever I wanted.
Right.
Well, you're one of the rare ones. Now, they have something else here, and this study was done in Australia, so I don't exactly know what this means, but they have something called social renting, which
yes,
they
what's
call
that?
Public housing. I don't know. And they say that does not equal 1.4 weeks per year and doesn't seem to have much of as much stress issues as just straight up renting, you know, a 6 to 12 month lease. So if you want to live to be 100, as far as I can understand, you want to eat dark chocolate, live in a blue zone, mm-hmm. probably drink some wine.
Own a home in the blue zone.
Own a home in the blue zone. And yeah, I mean, I should be making a list because these things are important.
Yeah, watching videos of sick people.
Yes, yeah, being around others who sneeze.
If you open a sarcophagus, just
yeah, well, let it breathe.
Let it breathe for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these things will help you live to be 100.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome.
Wow.
Do you think that I think building your immune system by, and hear me out, if there was a way, AI or animatronic, to have those Egyptian remains sneeze and cough as you enter.
Right into your face.
And no, not into your face, just enough so your body's like, tightens up extra, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Puts up all the barriers and the walls, like a full, just like like a bubble of protection.
How long does that last, though?
You have to go in every day to get that boost again. Every day,
your daily routine.
To the heart of the pyramid. Yeah.
Wow.
I just want to see the tomb. I'm willing to take on some ancient microbes just to go into an untouched tomb.
Really?
That to me is worth it. Oh, 100%.
I mean, would you be with your PPE, Danny?
I'd be with Tyson.
Yes. Okay.
I'm his PPE.
Your PPE. Yeah. So you wouldn't wear, you wouldn't be like in a hazmat suit.
No, I'd be karate chopping anything, dude.
Microbes out of the way.
Microbes out of the way. Karate chop. I can karate chop a million microbes with one swoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
Okay.
Live long.
Yeah. And Henry Kissinger had a diet heavy on bratwurst and wiener schnitzel.
If you totally were to contrary. Have me, if you were to have me guess, yeah, if you were to have me guess what he mostly ate, I would say, yeah, that.
Yeah, I was surprised when I found out he died that he was still alive. That's how sick we were going.
Didn't
in.
Know
a lifelong,
yeah,
a lifelong of bratwurst.
Yeah,
I mean, I can only imagine internally what that does to your body.
But yeah, we didn't know he was still alive. But boy, people were waiting with like a lot of tweets about him.
Yeah, well, there's that Twitter account that was like, is Henry Kissinger dead yet? That was just like, every day they just like, he's not. And then the account was like 2 or 3 years old, and they're like, he's not dead
That's
yet.
Crazy.
I was just really shocked.
Well, probably because they watched him eat at like a restaurant and just thought, that's impossible. No one can go on.
Like a lot of people, kind of celebrated his passing.
Yeah, it's like a lot of young people are really have a ton of Henry Kissinger takes. I feel like,
yeah, which is weird because he's like his prime was 40 years ago.
Really didn't that like, boy, people like they must be teaching a lot about Henry Kissinger. It's
in
schools
and now.
Yeah,
he had a lot of riz though for a guy like. He really shouldn't have been landing that many babes. He really did land a lot.
Yeah, I don't know that. For a guy that seemingly that had no riz, he did have a lot of
dates.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have had riz. I don't know. Maybe it was the bratwurst. Like, they were impressed with how much he could put.
I don't know.
But
eating mostly bratwurst.
He had like a very active dating career.
Like, where do you find wiener schnitzel in the country? He could not have smelled great.
No.
Dude. When you eat a lot of bratwurst, you sweat a lot of bratwurst. I think that's just science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Garbage in, garbage out, I think. Yeah.
Gina Taylor guessed he would have eaten a lot of porridge. I'm sure it was a lot of bratwurst porridge. Yeah. You can put wurst.
You could top it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a good topper.
Okay. Porridge. It does sound, he sounds like a porridge guy. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, there you go, guys.
Yeah. Danny, what's coming up for you?
I'm just preparing myself for the upcoming month of December, girding my loins with a protective layer of festivities.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says I'm a real downer, so I'm trying to not be as
right,
big a downer.
Right, right. Like, well, how are we downers?
I was told that too, personally.
Liz wants 3 Christmas trees in our house, and I said no. I said 2 maximum.
All real?
No, none real. It's a lot of plastic.
Yeah. Oh. It's so much. We put ours up yesterday, and there's one in the kids' playroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the only good thing is that like my wife has like taken matters into her own hands of like putting up the lights outside, not on a ladder, but she's like, she feels like we need
tossing
to...
Tossing them on to bushes.
Yes, yes.
I get that.
As long as you're going to take it down, too. I mean, do whatever. Go crazy. Do what you want, but...
Yeah.
That's what I'm... What about you, Tyson?
I am... I got Survivor on Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, that's a full day now that they're 90-minute episodes.
Yep.
It's just like, it's a lot.
It's a long day.
It's a long day, and got pickleball always, and trying to get better at disc golf, but it's pretty challenging. I think there's a lot of ways to throw a disc, and I am not aware of almost any of them.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, yeah.
How about you, Rob?
Well, I'm getting
ready to New Orleans.
Coming up on Tuesday. We're going to do the Survivor live show live on Wednesday night. So that's very exciting. I went to New Orleans one time previously, and I drove there in a car from Oswego, New York, in March of the year 2000. So it has been my triumphant return. Some 23 years later, I will not know what it's like to stay in a hotel room as opposed to sleep in a car. So I'm very excited.
Okay. And what did you go for all the way back in 2020?
I went for Mardi Gras.
Just like you were, I want to experience Mardi Gras?
Yes. I did not know a lot about it. There was no YouTube. You couldn't really learn much about it, but we heard stories. And so me and two of my friends got in a like 90s Ford Escort and drove. It was a suicide mission, and somehow we came back.
Was it fun?
Was it worth it? It was fun, but we really, I would not recommend anybody just like driving there with no money and no plans, no reservations. I would not recommend that as like the way to experience Mardi Gras.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you don't know.
We didn't know. And I can't even believe my parents didn't call the police or something when I told them that I was going to do this.
Yeah, they were like, cool. How long is that drive?
It was like, I feel like a full day.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
And I don't even know if we had a cell phone then. It could have been just like, if I would have just never returned, my parents would have been like, we liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't have a cell
phone. Too bad. Like, does anybody have a recent picture of him? Like, no, nobody's taken a photo in the last 8 years.
Yeah. We don't have anything. We know
somebody
his name.
Must have a photo. No, not really. No.
Yeah. We know his name. And if you can't find him based on just that, then we're done.
Mm-hmm. He was enrolled in the school. We know that. But that's it.
Well, I hope that you have a great return and text us when you get there.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be back with News AF. If anything happens, I'm sure that you'll hear.
It'll be on.
You'll know.
It'll be on the news.
You'll know.
Yeah, it'll be on the news.
You'll know. Okay. So. All right. There you go.
Well, perfect.
All right. We'll be back next week on Tuesday.
That's right.
All right. Great News AF today. We'll be back next time. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.